Praise God. Well, see you guys, and hope you guys all had an awesome New Year celebration. How was everybody's New Year? Pretty good? Awesome. You know, it's always, how many of you guys are sticking to your New Year resolution so far? How many of you guys are still on track? How many of you guys already fell off? Right? So far, so my brother says he has a flat tire, but he still hasn't fallen off. He's still rolling, so. But, you know, again, we talked about last week, you know, life is not about the resolution that we make. It's really about the commitments, right? And putting, in terms of the scope and big picture, putting God first and seeing things through God's perspective. So I do hope that you guys all had a blessed New Year celebration. For us, we actually took the kids to Universal. We hadn't done that ever, and that was kind of cool. I was worried that there's going to be, like, you know, a bunch of stuff, but it was pretty calm. My mom actually said there was more gunfire where we live than there was down where we were at. So, but, you know, that's, we're here, right? It's a new year for us here at Christ Community Church. 2023 was a good year for us. I'll be honest with you. It was a year of transition for us. We were, some of you guys don't quite know our full testimony. We were serving 13 years at a church down in Reedley called Lifehouse Valley Church. God called us to plant a church, and the launch team followed. And it's been just through our obedience, right, to God to actually come and plant this church. And so we're, you know, we're consistent. We're faithful to the call that God has. And so we're looking for 2024 for God to do, you know, what he's going to do. Whether that's more or less, it's not even up to us. Ours is just to be obedient to what he wants us to do. Amen. And so we're just here to proclaim the good news of who Jesus is. You guys all know our tagline. It's to know Jesus, right, and to make Jesus known. And so today we're kicking off a new series called Established. It's called Rooted and Established in God's Love. And this is a six-week campaign, so it's a six-week series. And we hope that you come for the full 6 weeks if you can to get the maximum out of it. Every week we're going to be talking about a new element, new component, a new principle, what it means to live a life that's rooted in God. And so the first one, right, before we do anything else, before we can start to really dig into some of the other principles, today's message is called Knowing God, right? Because first and foremost, there's a lot of confusion about who God is. And so today we're going to talk about dispelling some of those things about why God came, right, and who he is and what he came to do, right? So if you have, everybody has a handout? All right. So we're going to be reading some John chapter 17 this morning. John chapter 17. And again, my prayer for this whole 6 weeks is really just to go back and center on who God is in our life, right? And build upon each one of those principles. So it's really important that we try as best we can to make it every 6 weeks. Or, you know, sometimes if you can't, the other thing too is there's a little plug and promo. On our website, we actually post every single sermon that we have, as well as the outline, right? So sometimes you miss, life happens, and you may just want to, good morning, you may just want to catch up on what happened in service. Go to their website, listen to it there, and you can actually have the fill in the blank available to you as well. Amen? All right. So let's turn our Bibles to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. And you know, whenever you start reading, the book of John is just an awesome book, right? We always say if you're new to the scripture or new to the Lord, I always highly recommend starting with the book of John, because it talks at the beginning about who Jesus is, it talks about his ministry. He covers a lot of ground in terms of the prophecies that are met. But he spends a lot of time talking about Jesus himself preparing the disciples, right, for what he came to do, which is ultimately, we celebrated Christmas, his arrival. Really, what he came to do is to surrender his life so that sinners like us can know God, right, and so we can be forgiven. Now, John 17 is, I think, one of I'm a big fan of, again, all of the scripture is awesome, but like 14 to 19 are one of my favorite, in terms of chapters, are some of my favorite chapters to read. So we're going to pick up in John 17, verse 1. You guys there? All right. Amen. So John 17, verse 1. After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and he prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all the people that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work that you have given me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence in the glory I have with you before the world began. Right? That's an awesome prayer, guys. I don't know if you guys, if you go back and read it, it's just amazing, right? What Jesus is saying, he's saying, listen, you've given me these people, right? Who when they have faith in me, they will gain eternal life, right? He's saying, now glorify me by allowing me to go back to be with you in heaven, right? So to me, when you look at what it means to have eternal life, right? Eternal life, what do you guys think about? There's a lot of conceptions right now, a lot of confusion in the culture about life in general, right? A lot of people have confusion about what happens after you die, right? You have different world religions believe different things. For example, some people that are like in the Eastern tradition, they believe what? That you become, anybody? Like the Hindu tradition is reincarnation. You can kind of be, you're born into a different class system based on how good you were. So if you lived a good life, then you might move up in class, which is very difficult. I don't know if you guys have heard about that. It's a caste system. So that's so embedded into that culture where if you marry outside of your caste, you even get shunned by your home family, right? You get kind of kicked out. I don't know if you guys know that. That system is just based on works. There's no faith. There's no salvation there. If you lived a good life, then you die. You get to become, maybe you move up in the class system. Or maybe you come back as a turtle. I don't know. I'm kidding. But here's the thing. There's a lot of confusion about what it means. Now, in the culture that we live in as well, a lot of people say, live your best life, right? It's you. You're here by accident. This is your only life. So do what you want with it, right? You want to puro party all day? What is it? All day parranda, whatever it is. Live it to the fullest, right? To the max. Because when you die, what did they say? That there's nothing. You just die. Now, something inside each one of us, if we're honest, tells us that that's not true. If we're honest with ourselves, something inside of us tells us that that is not true. And that is because what? The Bible tells us, and we know it, that we are made in His image and in His likeness, right? And that each one of us is born with what? It begins with so and ends with oh. What is it? A soul, right? Now, what we know here is that the scriptures tell us that we came from somewhere, we have a purpose, and when we die here on this earth, that our soul goes somewhere else, right? And we have a decision to make. Now, where that goes depends on who we put our faith in, right? And so Jesus is talking about people who are believers. So the first thing that I want to talk about, right, breaking down is particularly in John, in the second verse, where Jesus says, for you have granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those that you have given him, right? Jesus is saying that when you put your faith in him, he came to give us eternal life. I don't know what else to say, guys. I could just close the Bible. We could just pray right there and we're done. But we still have 30 minutes to go, so we're not going to close there. But number one says, Jesus came to give us eternal life. What a blessing that is, right? Now, here's the thing. Jesus was the person who preached the most about hell, to be honest with you. He preached about the kingdom of heaven. He preached about when you get it, I'm not going to go too much into it, but he always gave the warning to say, like, listen, you need to be very clear with a sense of urgency that there is a heaven, but there's also a hell. You need to know who you're putting your faith in, right? And so Jesus came to give us eternal life. To us, again, coming off of a 5-week series, when we talked about his arrival, we talked about why he came. He came ultimately, right, to become God and man at the same time, to surrender his life, to pay for our sin debt. Now, a lot of times people ask themselves, well, why did Jesus have to come and why did he have to die? Has anybody ever asked you that? A lot of people like to argue, right? Particularly if you start getting into these conversations with people, it's like, well, why did Jesus have to die? Why couldn't he just? In fact, if you talk to other people of other religions, for example, like a Muslim person, one of the things that keeps them from believing is the fact to say that your God, right, he was punished by people and killed by people. So your God is a tiny God. Does that make sense? Because if your God is a good, your God has to be powerful and strong and just and mighty. And if he allowed himself to be put on the cross, That's not a real God. That's their one of their arguments about why Jesus is not, in their perspective, not the Messiah, why they say he is a prophet. Now, we know that he came back, right? It's not that he just stayed on the cross and he was in the tomb. 3 days later, when we celebrate Easter, we celebrate that he was what? Resurrected. He was risen, right? And so they forget that part. In fact, they don't even like to talk about that portion of it. But what I'm here to tell you is that Jesus came, right, to die on the cross. Why? For our sins, right? Because here's the reality of it. And I'll give you guys an analogy, right? Let's say somebody has committed a crime against you. Somebody hurt your family. Somebody did something bad, terrible. Let's just say for the sake of argument, it was like a DUI, drunk driver, something crazy happened, and one of your loved ones passed away, right? And that would be terrible, right? Now imagine that you go to the courtroom that day and that you sit there in front of the judge and the guy's there and he says, yeah, I did it. I'm sorry, but I did it. And what if the judge was sitting there and the judge just said, all right, cool, you're free to go. And you were sitting there, right? And with all the heartache and pain and everything that it has cost you for that loved one passing away, how would you feel for the judge to just say, oh, okay, you're sorry? Okay, go ahead. No sentence, nothing. In fact, nothing at all. How would you feel? Do you feel like justice had been done? You would be, to be honest with you, some of you guys would be really mad, right? To say it lightly, you would not stand for it. You probably would be like, there was a footage of some guy this week that he went running at the judge and tackled her. I don't know if you guys saw that in Las Vegas. It was kind of crazy. He did a Superman and he tackled the judge because the judge said that he couldn't go out on parole. That's a side note. That probably would be us. That's how mad we would have been, right? That's why, right? People say, well, why couldn't God just say, yeah, turn a blind eye, you're forgiven. It didn't cost you anything. Because that's not justice, guys. That's not justice. If you look at the first five books of the Bible, right, they're full of what? God's law, his commands, his guidance for us on how we're supposed to live our life. And if God just turns a blind eye to all that and says, you know what? All that stuff that Moses talked about, we're just kidding. Is that justice? No, that's not. By the same token, when God gave us those precepts, somebody, I always say, right, when you go out to eat, when you go with your friends, hopefully you don't have friends that do this, that they're like, oh, I got to go. Somebody's calling me. I got to go to the restroom. And then when the bill comes, you can't find them all. Like, has that ever happened? Or they're like, oh, here's $5. And we're like, dude, you had like all kinds of things to eat and all kinds of things to drink. Like, what's going on? So, what my joke is, at the end of the day, nobody eats for free, right? Somebody has to pay the bill. By the same token, when we live our life, somebody has to pay the sin debt, guys. God is just. He's a good God. He's holy. He's perfect. And when he gave those precepts, he can't just turn the blind eye and say, yeah, I was just kidding about those Ten Commandments thing. I was just kidding about the Levitical laws. He says, no. Then, because he loved us that much, right? John 3:16, he sent his son to die for us on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. That's the justice that he gave, and he enacted it on our behalf. Does that make sense? So then when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, right? He tells us himself that he came to give us eternal life. And to me, that's a blessing. Because here's the thing, right? Sometimes, and as you get to know, right, today's message is about knowing who God is. So number one, we got to know why he came. He came to give us eternal life. Number two, let me just tell you this. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, it doesn't mean that everything goes perfect. Like, whoa, like you gave your life to the Lord and all the people, all the conflict that you have disappears. All your debt and your credit card debt, oh, gone. The debt collector stopped calling. The IRS bill goes away. Suddenly your kids listen to you. Everybody's like, you know, your spouse is like, oh, come here. Let me take off your shoes and give you a massage and cook. That's not what happens when you come to Jesus Christ, guys. I wish it was, huh? This place would be full. But that's because people have a misconception about knowing God and what he came to do. He didn't come to give us things. He didn't come to for the blessing is what I always call. A lot of times we have a perception about God, and if we know who God is, he's like, we think he's a genie. Like, God, just do this one thing for me, right? We start negotiating with God. God, if you do this one thing, you know, I'll get me out of this time. And you guys have heard me say this, but don't let me get pulled over right now. Let me get home safely. If you let me win this lottery ticket, I'll buy a church for that Christ Community Church, right? Does that sound familiar to you? You start making all kinds of things, like, and then when bad things happen, you're like, but God, I've been going to church. I'm trying to read my Bible. I'm doing good things. God, come on, really, seriously, God? And does that sound familiar to anybody? We try to negotiate with God, and that's a misunderstanding, right? That's a total misunderstanding of what God came to do. If you read Matthew 16:33, he says what? In this life you will have trouble, but fear not, because I have overcome the world, right? He's telling you right there. And so when we have conflict, when we have heartache, when we have grief, you shouldn't be surprised, guys. When our Lord and Savior, when he came, he himself was whipped and humiliated, slapped and spit on and scourged and whipped on the back and put on a cross. That's our Savior. When he lived that life, we want. But for us, we're like, oh, man, you want me to get up at 10 o'clock to go to church? You want me to read my Bible? I'm very busy. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, there's a disconnect. If we're called to be and I get it, guys, it's a different time. But if we're called to be followers of Jesus Christ, let's not be surprised. In this life, we're going to have trouble. But here's the thing. Jesus gives us eternal life. And we get to walk with him. And he gives us the strength to persevere even through our toughest times. In Exodus 14:14, he even says what? Be still, right? Know that I am God. I will fight for you. And a lot of times we want to take it upon ourselves to fight and do it. Jesus says, God himself says, hey, be still. This is my battle, right? Got you. Instead of us trying to figure it out all on our own, right? Because God didn't come right for us to live what I call like the, if you turn on your TV sometimes, you're going to hear some fake, and in fact, the scripture's full of it. The televangelists that are telling you the health and wealth. If you believe in Jesus Christ, your miracle's coming. If you just put your faith, God is going to bless you. He wants to bless you. But make sure you send me that check for $1,000. I told you guys that last week, but there is a misconception, even in the church, guys, and it's the health and wealth, it's a prosperity gospel, right? That God wants to bless you, that he wants to do things for you, that if you believe and you have faith, that you're going to have all these things. And that's not what God came to do. He didn't. God came to make sinners holy by believing in him, giving us eternal life. And he also came, again, not because we want to have like a worldly understanding, but a possession is not what Jesus came for, right? Number two up on the screen, eternal life, right? What we're going to talk about next is knowing who God is. Eternal life is knowing God, right? John 17:3 says, now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent, right? This talks about that this is not like your eternal life. Like, what is your life? When you're growing up as a kid, what do people usually, like, do they teach us at an early age, unless you're hearing this at home, do they teach you what your life is about? Usually it's about what? It's about go to school, meet somebody, maybe get married. Does that sound familiar to you? Your life is to be what? Try to get a good job, try to buy a house. Does that sound familiar to you guys at all? Your life is not about those things. Your life is not about material possession. Your life is not even about a destination, right? Even as a believer, a lot of times people say, like, when you grow up, everybody's thinking about what? About going to heaven, right? Nobody thinks about going to hell, but everybody talks about going to heaven where the streets are made out of gold, right? And why do they paint that picture? You see it in the book of Revelation. Because more than that, right? Let me just be honest with you. When Jesus came to give us eternal life, and he says, you get to go to heaven too, and if you follow my precepts here, you're going to see the blessing poured out to you here, right? See the theme there? that it's not your eternal life and where we're going is not a destination. It's not a thing. It's a person, guys. You've heard me say it before. When you get Jesus, you get Jesus, not the blessing. A lot of people make the mistake of coming to a church or any church because they're in a problem. They want to be out. They want a solution. They're in a storm and they want to be out. God, or pray, you know, prayer because I'm sick right now. God, I'm sick. I'm in the hospital. Get me out. I'm in jail. Get me out. I'm in this problem. Get me out. You get Jesus, you get Jesus, guys. You get God, you get the Holy Spirit. And that's what is different about our faith. It's not about works, and it's not even about a destination. That the fact that you get to go to heaven is a blessing. But it's not heaven that counts. Do you know what I mean? It means that you get to have communion and relationship and presence with the living God. That's what we are looking forward to. Now, here's the thing, as a believer of Jesus Christ, I don't have to wait, you know. To me, it's like if I look at the other, 4 billion people on the planet that are following a different faith, that are following something else, to say, waiting their entire life, working, right? There's even some people that you interview, you talk to, for example, if you're like a Muslim. And I'm not here to bash. I'm just here to provide clarity and context, right? That they, if the mosque where they go to worship is across the street, instead of just walking across the street, they will walk around the entire town. Why? Because when they die, they want to show, when it's their time for judgment, they want to say, look how devoted I was. I didn't just go to church and cross the street. I walked all around town. That's how devoted I was. If your acts and all of your things that you do are worthy, then you get to go to heaven. If it's not, then you don't. That is not our faith, guys. We get to put our faith in Jesus Christ, and we are reassured, right, of not only our salvation, our eternal life with Him, but I always say, I don't have to wait until then. I know, I see it, I've seen it in my own life. God's goodness, right? Transcend, I would say, even the supernatural and change my life here. And that's my own testimony. Eternal life is about knowing God, right? And when we come, ultimately, you've heard this say, right? That God came, right? Not for things, not to give us possessions, but He came so that we could have a relationship with Him, right? If you go back and you look at the scriptures, the biggest things that people always say, like David is known for what in the Old Testament? What's he known for? He's known for slaying Goliath, right? But that wasn't what he was after. If you guys remember, what God granted him the victory because he said what? There's always two perspectives to the issue, right? God was known for being a man after his own, David was known for being a man after God's own heart. He wanted to have a relationship with him. And he did slay the Goliath. But the greatest thing is that David knew God, right? If you guys remember his what he said, hey, they will know, right, that there is a God in Israel, and God delivered Goliath to him. Moses was also famous for what in the Old Testament? Opening of the Ten Commandments, yeah, and parting of the Red Sea, right? But more than anything, that it wasn't that. It was his relationship with God that allowed him to be able to do those things. If you look at the New Testament, right, if you look at Peter, one of the things that he actually was the recipient of one of the miracles you see with Jesus, when he walks on as well, right? But more than that, his real blessing was that he was in communion and contact with Jesus Christ, right? The theme is here is that we're not after things or acts or obedience or this and that. The one thing, the main thing that we have to know is that we can do the same. We just have to know God. We have to commit our life to Jesus Christ to be able to do that. The reason that each one of us is here, the reason why we can live and we can breathe is the fact that God allows it, right? And it's a blessing. Everything that we have is a true gift. But number 3 up on the screen, our life is not about worldly achievements. It's about understanding and knowing who God is. Our life is not about worldly achievements, but understanding and knowing God. This is one that we need to hear almost constantly, right? Because in the world, we're always being judged, no matter what. And we're judging ourselves, let's be honest with this, right? It's just the nature and it's the culture that we live in. Judge people by what car they're driving, what they wear. We shouldn't, but our natural inclination where we live is that we do. But our life is not about those achievements. It's not about our degrees or our jobs or any of that. Our life is about knowing who God is and understanding Him. Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 to 24 says, this is what the Lord says. Not wise boast of their wisdom, strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches. But let the one who boasts boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord, who exercises kindness, justice, righteousness on earth. In these things I delight, declares the Lord. Amen. Look, we all have things that we can be proud of, right? Like if you might have a really nice car, you could be proud of it. You could be proud of your kids. You could be proud of your achievements at work, whatever it is. It's football season right now, so everybody's really proud of their team if they made the playoffs. If they didn't, well, too bad. Everybody's excited, right? That's one thing where it's like, you can all boast. For example, like I can imagine how Stephen is going to be if, and that's a really big if, the Cowboys win the Super Bowl, right? That's a big. He would probably boast. Yeah, like we won. Like, I'll be honest with you guys. I'm a Buffalo Bills fan. Man, I've been suffering my whole life. My brother's a Bengals fan, so he feels it too. Puras perdidas. But we would boast for a little while. Because then next season, what? Starts all over and life still goes on. We have that, like, yeah, my team won. It's awesome. And then, yeah, okay. It wasn't everything. It wasn't all that, right? Even if you're the guy that has all the banners on your car, like big old flying around in the big old flag. I've seen a few of those in town. You can boast in those things. But what Jeremiah is telling us is to say, you know what? Don't boast about any of those things. Don't. If you're smart, don't boast about that. That's a blessing, right? If you were blessed to be work hard and you made it and you're rich, that's nothing to be boast about. He's saying, let the person who really boasts, boast that they know who I am. Let them boast about my goodness, right? He says that they have the understanding to know me and that I am the Lord and I exercise kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. And these are the things that I delight in. Here's what it's saying, right? At the end of the day, God is not impressed. Right. A lot of times we live our life to try to impress people. Yes. A lot of us have Instagram and social medias and Snapchat and we always snap. Like we go, you go eat somewhere nice. Ah, steak. Let me Snapchat. Right. Oh, look at my hamburger. It's all pretty. When you're eating, tortilla, frijoles, you don't Snapchat that. When you have the Maruchan, you're not snapping that. When you're right. When you're in your sweats, all tirado, when you look nice, but when you're all, you haven't taken a shower in 2 days, you don't snap that, do you? You get up in the morning, let me snap this. I look awful, right? We don't do that. We're trying to impress people. We're trying to boast about things. That's another message for another time. But those are all just different things. Those are earthly things, guys. God is not impressed by any of that. Why? Because he owns it all, guys. He's the creator of the universe. He speaks, and universes and galaxies are formed, guys. Do you think he's impressed at all by these little things? He's not. You know what he's after, right? He's seeking what? He's seeking the heart. He's seeking what I said up there when I was on the stage before worship. John 4:24, God is looking for people to worship him in spirit and in truth, right? People that get him, that want to live a devoted life after him, that are disciples, and that are picking up their cross daily, right, to do the work that he's called them to do. You know this cross right here? We have to set it up and tear it down, and it's one of my favorite things to do because I get to walk in with it. I'm like, picking up my cross, and I'm walking with it on Sundays. It's light, right? But God is saying, like, man, you have your own cross to bear. Each one of us has our own cross to pick up and carry every single day, right? Number four, being a Christian is not about following rules. It's about a relationship, walking, knowing and walking with God. Being a Christian is not about following rules. It is a relationship, knowing and walking with God. That's a fill in the blank. A lot of times people have a confusion when they come to church or when they give their life. They say, well, what are the things? I don't want to go to your church because I have to do things. I don't want to become part of that because they're going to make me have to live like that. And I just want to live my best life right now. It's a misconception, right? It really is a misconception because it's having that relationship with God that is what it's all about. Knowing and walking with God. In John chapter 10, verse 27, verses 27 through 30, Jesus says, my sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Now, Jesus gives a really awesome picture there, right? I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe one day I'll have like a bunch of sheep and I'll practice what this looks like. My wife's like, no. She already looked. She looked up right away. I almost hurt her neck looking up fast. But if you go through, actually, if you still visit the Middle East, this is still true. They have shepherds, right? People come together and all their shepherds come in flock and they drink water together. I don't know if you guys have seen this. And when they get ready to leave, if you're there, there's hundreds of sheep grazing and eating. And if you're saying, well, how do they know what they are? They're not tagged. They don't have a brand. They're just, when they get ready to leave, the shepherd actually goes and he makes a noise. And all the sheep that belong to him go to him. That's why Jesus uses this analogy in John chapter 10. John chapter 10 is an awesome, I always say like the book of John is awesome, but John chapter 10 is where he's talking about Jesus being the good shepherd, right? That he lays down his life for his flock. He talks about coming to give the abundant life so that people can have it to the full, his flock and his sheep. But he goes on and he says that my sheep know my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will not perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given to me is greater than all. And no one can snatch them out of the Father's hand. So I and the Father are one, right? That's what he's talking about. He's talking about relationship, right? How many of you guys have kids in the room, right? How do your kids, when they're small, do you remember how they would act around like a stranger? Like they never really, how do they act? They know, right? It's like stranger danger, like, oh, get away from me. Or they start crying or caution, right? We teach them that too, but it's inherent in our nature. Now, how do they react around somebody that they know? How should they act around us particularly, right? Grandpa, oh, mom, dad, right? It's a different thing because what? It's the relationship, right? It's the relationship. And so when we come to God and we get to know him through Jesus Christ and we start building on that, which we're going to learn more about in the coming weeks, about how do we continue to build that relationship. The first thing first is that we have to know who he is. And then we start to develop that relationship when we're talking, when we're intimate time of conversation and talking, right, in prayer and meditation and walking with God. What Jesus is talking about is having that intimate relationship with him to know his voice, right? And so this is why I always say I love Jesus when he talks and gives us that image, what it means to be a part of his flock. The last fill in the blank and the last point for today's sermon is that in order to do all this, right, it requires that we know who God is, but that we trust in the Lord with all of our heart. That's number five, that we trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Now, why does relationship require trust? It does, right? If there's no trust, there's no relationship. Without it, it's like the foundation of anything else is that you have to put your trust to form that relationship. And so in order for us to know who God is, we have to trust in him with all of our heart. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight." You know, in your life, you probably have people that you trust, right? People that you have, are close to. Could be a mentor, could be a dad, could be a mom, it could be a grandparent, it could be somebody. And when you trust them, right, you can actually know that they have your best interests at heart, right? Now, you also have people who you know probably don't have your best interests at heart. There are people that in your life, they're called haters, right? They're going to tell you what, don't listen to those people. But in the book of Proverbs, when he's saying this, it's saying, when you trust him with all your heart, it says, don't lean on your own understanding. What's wrong? Why does he give us that word of counsel? How many times have you tried to, you thought you were doing the right thing, or you thought you were going to, it was going to be come out good, and it turned out to be the exact opposite? Has ever happened to you? You tried it on your own. You leaned on your own understanding of the situation. You didn't seek counsel, didn't seek godly counsel. You certainly didn't go to God, and you went and ran with it. And how did it turn out? When we trust in the Lord with all of our heart, right, and we submit our ways to him, he makes our path straight. But I don't know about you guys, but I'm not looking for like the hard way to go on things. I'm not looking for the most complicated way, right? I'm not looking for the biggest places where I can have heartache and struggling and pain and suffering. I'm not into that. I'm not saying that. I'm just, look, I did say earlier, yeah, in life we're going to have grief. We're going to have illness. We're going to have challenges. But as much as I can, if I can avoid it, if I can have the path that gives me, like following Jesus, and I can have the abundant life, why wouldn't we want to go that way? Why would we want to walk up the hardest way to where we had? My wife has, I have a saying with my wife. She knows it. And I always say, because I see her doing stuff, and I can, you know, and she's like, she doesn't either ask me for help, or she knows that and I always say, what? Why do you like to struggle, right? Why do you like to struggle? And I was like, oh, you like to suffer, huh? Like, that's my joke to her. When I see her doing things, and it's like, I'm right. Like, she's struggling, trying to put something together. She's struggling, trying to lift something by herself. And it's like, I'm right here. I could help you, you know? Like, and yeah, I go help her. I'm not like that kind of guy. I was like, okay, have your way. I don't do that. But my thing to her is to say, why do you like to suffer? Why do you like to struggle? And our life, if we're honest, we try to do things our own way. If you think about that, right? If you think that, if you know and you realize that God is sovereign in our life, that he sees all things, he knows all things, and he's present at all times. If he would see in that situation, I could almost, the very same way that I look at my wife and I was like, man, you like to struggle, huh? Man, you want to do things the hard way. How about you just turn and do it the way that I've asked you to do? How about if you surrendered that relationship where you're trying to fight over who's right and who's wrong and all this pride that gets in the way? How about you just do it the way that I asked you to do in Ephesians chapter 5, right? I'm talking about husbands and wives right there. How about you're yelling at your kids? They don't listen. They do it like, man, they're driving you crazy. Like, yell, yell, yell. How come you don't? Why don't we just turn to Ephesians chapter 6 where it says, parents, don't aggravate your kids. But it says, kids, obey your parents, right? It's the first promise with a blessing. It's the first commandment with a blessing, right? So when we're always trying to do things our own way, the book itself, and God says, I already told you. I gave you a blueprint. I gave you a blueprint on how you're going to live your life. I gave you a blueprint on how to do relationships. I gave you instructions on how to be a good parent. I gave you instructions on how to be a good kid. But we like to struggle, huh? The passage is clear, right? That knowing God requires that we trust in him completely and we surrender our own understanding to his wisdom and acknowledge that we need his guidance in every aspect of our lives. We need his guidance. Every one of us in here, we're all flawed. Our families are flawed. We're human. But God's ways, his ways are perfect. They're not good, they're perfect, right? And so when we seek counsel, when we're seeking somebody, we need to know who he is know his precepts for our life and then do them, right? That's the abundant life. But it's not even about those things. I always says, when you get God, and that's it, guys. That's enough. The only way that we can know who God is to trust in Jesus Christ. In John 14:6, it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. And over these next few weeks, we're going to talk about building a life that is rooted and established in his love and how to build on that relationship. But before you do that, you got to cross the line, right? You got to know who Jesus is in your life. You got to accept him as Lord and Savior. And that's the only way that we'll be able to continue to, I always say, beyond it, right? We won't have the eternal life. You'll have the eternal life, but not the one that you're expecting. We have to put our trust in Jesus Christ, right? And it all starts with him. The eternal life is about Jesus Christ. Again, over the next 6 weeks, we're going to cover different things about every different principles. This one is about who knowing who God is, right? And why he came. He came to give us eternal life. He came that we might be freed from our sin debt and that we might have a communion and a relationship with God the Father, right? We always say, what God is asking us to do, if we're honest, is intimacy with the Father through Jesus Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit. Three God in one. Amen? Let's stand. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you that you are such a good and awesome God, Lord. We thank you for your scripture and what you give us instruction on how you want us to live our life, to know you, God, to know you, to make that our biggest desire in our heart, Lord God, to know that you came to give us eternal life and that we know that we can only achieve that, Lord, by putting our faith in you, Lord Jesus. Lord, it's my prayer right now, if there's somebody here that doesn't know who Jesus is and wants to know him and accept him for the first time, if they want to raise their hand, we can lead them into a prayer of salvation. Now, you might be asking yourself, look, I never seen a prayer of salvation in the Bible, and that's partially true. There is only putting your faith in Jesus Christ. And so when we talk about this and we do this every Sunday, we give the invitation. The invitation is for the person to open up their heart, number one, to repent, to say that, yes, I am a sinner. Yes, I need you, Lord Jesus, and I want to live my life after you. That's it. That's the gospel. That's why Jesus came. So if there's anybody here that hasn't accepted Jesus Christ, I'm going to invite you right now to raise your hand. If you don't know who God is, none of this is going to matter. None of this is going to make sense. We have to put our faith and trust in him alone so that we can actually know who God is in our life. And if we don't do that, then we're wasting our time. If there's somebody today that wants to give their life to Christ, go ahead and raise your hand and I can lead you into that prayer. Okay. Father God, you are such a good and awesome God to us again, Lord God. Thank you again for the ability to gather, to meet, to worship you, to know who you are, to get fed from your word, Lord. It is my prayer this morning, Lord, that you meet each one of us where we are. Lord God, forgive us, Lord God. Forgive us, Heavenly Father, for our sins, Lord God. Forgive us for our flaws, Lord God. Forgive us for our anger, our temper, our pride, our whatever we know that we're sinners. We are not perfect. None of us is. But Lord, we don't take pride in that. We don't sin purposely against you, Lord God. And so this morning, Lord, I just pray that you would just meet us where we are. Help us to continue to draw closer to you this new year, Lord. And that you would just continue to be with each one of us as we're going through, Lord God, this campaign together. That you would just continue to have each one of us, Lord God, show up, really follow along in these things, Lord, and ultimately draw a closer relationship with you that we can live a life that is rooted in you. We can live a life that is established on your goodness, Lord God. Keep us safe. Guide us, Lord God. Watch over our children, Lord. Protect our families, Lord. There's some of us in here that we are going through some grief, Lord. We have families that are sick. Lord, I pray for healing upon our families, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that you would just meet us and fill us, Lord God, with peace and with love, Lord, with all the fruit of the Spirit as we go through it. And we are going to have to go through some struggles. We are going to have some pain and some tears that are shed, Lord God, in 2024. And some of us even this week. But Lord God, you are good and you are faithful. And so we're going to lean on your promises right now, Lord God. Help us dig into our relationship even more by knowing you and trusting you with our lives, Lord God. We love you. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.